Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We have some updates since the last time that we sat down, Jesse and I, to share about the first 3 weeks of January.
Yeah, the last couple weeks of January is about as eventful as the first 3 weeks.
How many weeks are there in January? I don't know at this point. It's felt like a really long January. I saw some meme the other day that was like something about it being January 47th or something like that. So we're going to share those updates and then also talk about some books we're reading, because we haven't done that on the podcast for a little while. And y'all usually love it when we give book updates. And this month, we also celebrated two milestones. And that was 22 years of marriage and 20 years of parenting. I always never know quite how you do the parenting thing, because, you know, the baby's in the womb for 9 months. So technically you are a parent. Well, she was in the womb for actually longer than 9 months because she was 2 weeks late.
That's a parent.
And then, you know, and I know, ha, ha, ha. Well, it's a parent. How would it be a parent?
That you're a parent for 9 months.
Well, you were
too. It gets more apparent as the months go on.
Oh, thank you. Are you calling me fat?
Not now.
Anyway, 22 years of marriage, that's what it will do to you. But we're going to talk a little bit about some lessons that we've learned and just in retrospect, things that we would love to share. And it's not going to be, especially when it comes to marriage, it's not going to be, well, we've got it all figured out. We've got some sage words for you, because January has stretched our marriage. But we'll get into that a little bit more.
Ask first, us in about 20 more years.
First off, okay, so last time you and I sat down to do a podcast episode, we briefly mentioned that when talking about the three ER visits, three urgent care visits, 3 days in the hospital that the January started out with, we briefly mentioned that Silas had had a basketball accident. He didn't know exactly how he had hurt himself. He knew he hit something and then he was on the ground and there was blood. And so he had a kind woman who helped him with, who wasn't even a coach that was anywhere connected to his team, but she was a coach from another team, came over and got him ice and helped him out because they weren't at their school. So they didn't have the typical, you know, people there that would be able to help him. And so we thought, you know, the doctor at urgent care stitched him up and, you know, talked about concussion, but we thought that he was okay. He wasn't showing any signs of concussion.
Correct.
And so we let him go to school the next day, asked him a lot of questions. He seemed like he was fine. But when we picked him up from school, he just seemed like he wasn't himself. And he was very tired. He just seemed very out of it. And we started asking him some questions. And come to find out, he said things like, it was really hard to see what was on the board. And every time I was trying to figure out what the problem was or whatever, what, you know, it's the thing that they were trying to do in school, he said, it's like my head would start hurting, my eyes would start hurting. And he was saying all these things that are making...
He had a quiz that he was doing and had to go up, could not get the concept. And this was in math, which he's amazing at math. Had to go up and talk with his teacher like six different times because he could not get the concept of what the quiz was about. And it was really frustrating to him. And it totally not like him.
Yes. His teacher, actually, his math teacher emailed me and said, I just thought I should let you know that Silas had a really, really hard time getting the concept today. And I'd like for him to get to redo the quiz. And she said he mentioned something about a concussion. And basically, she was kind of hinting at, pretty sure that's what's going on here. So anyway, we realized that he obviously must have had a concussion, which was our first time to ever deal
We've never dealt
with a concussion. So we went into the concussion specialist and ended up that he checked out of like 16 of the 22 signs. He had them. We'll know better next time. Live and learn, right? And so he then kind of was put on this protocol of rest and no sports and no screens and no going.
You know how hard it is? It's basically like putting a rein on a 15-year-old from doing all. I mean, you tell him he can't do certain things and that's what he wants to do.
He is just usually a go, 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 go type of guy. Mm-hmm. And he runs from sunup to sundown. And then he sleeps real hard. And then he gets up and does it the next day. He's very social. And he just thrives on activity. And that's the thing that we've learned. And so it was a real, real challenge. There were about 5 days where I was kind of concerned that he was going to slip into a depression because he was just so bored. I mean, he literally goes, all I can do is eat and sleep. And I just kept having to remind him, this is your brain healing itself. And sleeping is one of the best things that you can do. So just laying there with your eyes closed. I know it feels so lazy, but I promise you, you're going to be glad you did this later. He was cleared to be able to go back to school if he felt good enough for that, but not to do any tests or quizzes, and also not to basically do anything super active. And if he was getting a headache at all, he was supposed to leave the room. And I'm really grateful because we learned that Tennessee has great laws around concussions to really protect kids. And so schools have to abide by those and give a lot of leeway to, you know, the child if they're getting a headache or their eyes are hurting or anything like that. They are supposed to leave the room or leave school. And so the school was amazing about the whole thing, even if they didn't have the laws. But I thought that it was just encouraging to me as a mom to see, oh, well, you know, I'm grateful that this is something that our state takes seriously. Because I heard from a lot of moms who said that they had to fight tooth and nail to try to get a school to respect the fact that their child could not function at the level that was expected of them because they had a concussion.
Interesting.
So that's been a learning experience. He's not going to be able to finish out basketball, although he's going to the games and sitting on the bench. But I loved his attitude where he was all excited because he's a starter and one of his friends who has never gotten to start is getting to start because he's not. And so he was really excited for his friend to get to start. And his friend was like, hey, if you want to be out the whole rest of the season, I'm good with that. And so, yes, he's going to be out the whole rest of the season, but the season is almost over. So gratefully, baseball has started up a little bit, but we're not in its games aren't happening yet and everything. So it looks like he will probably be cleared very soon here. He probably only has another week and a half or so, and then he's going to be cleared.
Probably less than that.
Yes, hopefully. But so that's been a new and interesting challenge of January. And then just to keep things, you know, that we weren't getting bored, it was two nights ago. We had a small little flood. So one of our children, who shall not be named, left the water running in the bathroom, and we didn't catch it for, I think it was close to an hour. It's a bathroom that, like, I was in another part of the house you couldn't hear, and I came in there, heard some noise that I shouldn't be hearing from the bathroom, walked in, and the floor was, like, there was just water everywhere. So I cleaned all of that up. And then when Jesse got home, he's like, I need to go check the storage room that is underneath the bathroom.
Yeah.
And discovered that there was water all over the storage room. Gratefully, though, the storage room is cement. Yes. And gratefully, a lot of the things
the floors and the wall cement.
Yeah. The things in the storage room that would be things I really care about. Like, we have tubs of a lot of pictures and special things that I would, you know, want to keep and pass down for generations. All of those are in tubs. But we had kind of a lot of just conglomeration of things that had been sort of stuffed in the storage room that I had been being like, I'm going to clean out the storage room. And that was high on my priority list. Well,
it got higher,
bumped up real high on my priority list. And let's just say that my goal also that I'd set for January of decluttering 500 items, I hit that goal and nothing flat. I was actually pretty close to hitting that goal, but in one night.
You hit February's goal too, huh?
In one night, we had to sadly say goodbye to a lot of things in our storage room because they were not going to survive. So, you know, it was good though because I was thinking, have you ever heard the thing? This is a weird thing, but I think this is on TikTok. I don't know who, but it's like, would you save it if it had poop on it? Have you heard of this thing? Like,
it's a way to
determine, like, is this thing worth keeping?
Like, does it still bring me joy even with?
No, but no. Would you go through the effort to like clean it up?
Yes.
And keep it. And so it's like, that's a way to kind of think of how, and so I was like, well, there was a lot of stuff that just was completely waterlogged.
That's one thing that we can be thankful for though, is that it was clean water.
Yes.
As opposed to dirty water.
Well, and as we were, you know, like wading through, it wasn't that. I feel like it was only an inch or...
In the basement? Yeah. I don't know what was in the bathroom, but in the basement, yeah.
Yes. The bathroom was deeper, but in the basement, it was about an inch. And so as we were wading through that and, you know, there's water that has poured down, that's the thing. It didn't like come up from the floor. It like poured down from the ceiling. So that's really what the problem was, is that it poured down onto a lot of stuff that was in there. But as we were wading through that, and it's, you know, kind of yucky because it's like, I don't know, it's the storage room. And mm-hmm. I was thinking of, wow, I can't even imagine people, you know, this last year who lost their house to the hurricane or who their house was completely flooded from the hurricane and they had to clear out their whole main floor. I can't even imagine if you had feet of water and then it was water that was like disgusting, contaminated water that you couldn't keep anything and you're having to clean out all the stuff. So much to be grateful for. We have a much cleaner storage room. We decluttered and the water damage could have been a lot worse. Jesse, you said that you're reading a book right now?
Sort of.
How do you sort of read a book?
Because it's an audiobook.
Oh, that's right. We won't get into that argument. Okay.
So,
admitting that audiobooks might count as real books?
Yes.
Wow.
So,
my, have you changed?
I've not done very good getting back in the new year, getting back into reading the same goal books or not goal books, but same books that I was reading last year to get to the goal that I had set. But I listened to a Jack Carr podcast with Jeff Shara on the podcast. And he is an historical fiction author. His dad famously wrote Killer Angels, which was the Battle of Gettysburg that was then made into a movie, Gettysburg. So I was familiar with him because I was familiar with the Gettysburg movie, but he had written a book, the prequel and the sequel to Gettysburg, which was Gods and Generals was the prequel, and I don't remember what the sequel was. But to continue that trilogy, he finished those books, but he's got a number of other books that cover like World War II, some books that stand alone. I'm listening to one right now on Teddy Roosevelt, and it's very interesting so far. Just got finished listening to two books on the Civil War in the West. So Tennessee and further west. So this was the first one that I read was on the Battle of Shiloh, and the second one was the Battle of Vicksburg. So those were very interesting. I had not done any study into the surroundings of those battles and anything. It was pretty fascinating listening to and being able to picture it in your head.
So how many books have you finished so far this year? Audiobooks?
Two completely.
Good job.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big deal. My goal was six for January. I think I'm going to hit that. I'm really close to hitting it. Done four, and I have like four other books that I'm pretty close to finishing. So so I think I should have finished two by the end of this month. I am currently reading a book that I can't stop talking about, and that is Habits of the Household. So many people have talked about this. Justin Whitmell-Early, I think is how you pronounce his last name. It's Practicing the Story of God in Everyday Family Rhythms. And I just love how he's really challenging us to see the importance of rhythm in our home. And it's not in a legalistic sort of way, but in how this can just build our family and strengthen our family and bless others. But then also I love the practical encouragement he gives. Right now I'm reading the chapter on discipline, and it's just really talking about like how to point our kids to Jesus. And the section I just read was on how so often when we're getting angry at our kids, it's because of our own selfishness of they have, you know, basically intruded on our time or our plans. And because they're struggling, we're upset with them. And really at the root of that is our selfishness, that we want them to just not struggle. So that,
or we want the day to go a certain way according to our plan that we set out at the beginning of the day or the day before, or the rhythm that we think that we need to be setting.
And how what is most important in those moments when our kids are struggling is the opportunity to disciple them, mm-hmm. not to follow our plan. And it's just really challenging and convicting. So I think about halfway through, and I'm reading it very slowly because there's just so much to glean from it. So I'd highly recommend it.
It'd be interesting. Does he talk about like how easy it is to get into legalism with, you know, establishing rhythm and that turning into legalism? Because I think it's a slippery slope. It can happen very easily.
Yes, I really have appreciated so far. I haven't agreed with everything, but I've appreciated so far how he's kind of had a very tempered approach, that mm-hmm. it's not like a one size fits all. It's like, here are some ideas of habits. Here's some things we do. Here's some other ideas. And it's not like you need to get up at 5 a.m. and mm-hmm. do this. It's not that. It's about like starting your mornings with intention and mealtimes with intention and, you know, discipling our kids with intention and kind of like the everyday rhythms. How can we establish patterns that are going to point us to Jesus, that are going to point our kids to Jesus, that are going to deepen our faith walk. Just, you know, little things like some of the things that I've done, which is like spending time in God's word before turning on a screen, and just starting your day with praying over your day versus picking up your phone. And just some things like that. And also I really appreciate they have four boys, and I feel like that he's not writing this from a space of they've got this all figured out. Like he talks very clearly about the chaos that will be at mealtime. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you feel better because it's like, you know, when we try to sit down and have a meal, it's chaos. Speaking of chaos, we just had two children walk in the room. Hi, what'd you need? One of my real life friends was raving about this specific supplement on social media. And she talked about it so much and how it made her feel so much better. It really helped her pregnancy be so much smoother. And she's had a lot of kids. So I was like, paying attention to that. And she talked about it so highly that I was like, I need to check this out. Well, it is called DS01. It's a clinically validated 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. And because of her high recommendation, I started taking it myself. It's formulated with 24 strains that support your whole body, including reducing bloating, supporting radiant skin, supporting immune health, and strengthening the gut barrier. I have noticed that since I started taking it, I feel so much more energetic. And I love that. And I also love that it's super easy to take, 2 little capsules right before I go to bed. And it's like something that I'm doing for my health, a gift that I'm giving to myself without much effort at all. Maybe one of your goals for 2025 is to prioritize your health or to work on some areas where you feel like your health is not doing so well. This would be a great thing to check out. Ready to experience a probiotic that actually works? Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. I never knew that I could love a pair of jeans so much, especially a pair of jeans that was outside of the type of jeans I would usually pick for myself. Let me tell you about this. So Amoir is a site that is dedicated to helping women get dressed easily. It's a clothing rental membership, and it helps you to build a perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. Well, I did this. I took the style quiz and they picked out this pair of jeans that was very different than a pair of jeans I would pick out for myself. But I was like, you know what? I love that this is going to challenge me to step outside my comfort zone. So I'm going to try this. And I ordered them and I fell in love. So much so that I wore these jeans multiple times every single week, did not want to send them back. And I ended up buying them because I loved them so much. And that's one of the things that I love about Amoir. It helps you to define your personal style, to try things that are different than you usually would, because you don't have to feel like, well, if I don't like this, then I spent the money on it and it's going to sit in my closet and that's going to be wasteful. You can just send it back if you decide you don't like it and swap it out for something else. Another great thing is that if you are pregnant or you're on a fitness journey, Amoir can help you be able to not have to go out and keep getting a lot of new clothes. It can save you money because you can just order clothes at whatever size you are at. And then if that size changes, you can just send them in and swap them out for a different size. Right now, my listeners can give Amoir a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit amoir.style/crystal. That's amoir.style, amoir.style/crystal. To get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoir today.
We just got the kids situated. Hopefully they're going to stay quiet. You never quite know what's going to happen when you're recording a podcast with three little kids at home. Gratefully, this is not live. It's recorded. Mm-hmm. So we can edit. But I think this is a great segue into, Jesse, before we started recording, we were talking about 20 years of parenting and you were saying how you have, you know, we've grown and changed a lot as parents over those 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just as parents, but as spouses. People? Yeah, people.
What are some of the things looking back that you feel like, oh, if I could tell any new parent this, or if I could go back and tell myself, what would I go back and tell myself?
Well, to be honest, I don't know if I would, because those are lessons that you have to learn on the way. By experience, you can't, I mean, you can look back and say, hey, loosen up, you know, be a little, have a little bit more grace. But unless you internalize that lesson on your own, you're not going to learn it. It's just going to go in one ear at the other.
Well, I was thinking how I'm the kind of person that I feel like I always have to learn things the hard way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like David has really helped us to have different perspective on messes.
Uh-huh. That's very true.
With little kids, they make lots and lots of messes. But David, with all of his disabilities, in the beginning, he didn't make messes. Mm-hmm. And we would give anything for him to make messes because it shows such OTPT skills. And so as he has grown and learned and developed, you know, for us to learn to celebrate. And I remember the first time that he turned the trash can over and dumped all the contents out. And I was so excited because it was the thing of, oh, this is something that a toddler does. And they learn. One of the things he loves to do right now is if you put something up on his high chair tray, he likes to throw it down. And he was doing this with Micah the other day, and Micah would put this thing up there and he'd be like, here, David. And then David would throw it right down. And Micah was getting really frustrated because he was like, why does he keep throwing the thing? And I said, honey, that's what you did when you were little. That's what little kids do. They have to learn that, like, you know, you put the thing up there, they throw it down. It's a little game that they play. And, you know, just seeing those things. He learned this week how to unzip a zipper. He has a zipper on his bed because it's a safety thing to keep him in his bed. And he, little, I don't know what the Houdini. Word is. Yes, little Houdini that he is. This boy, you put him in something that he is supposed to be able to not get out of. And it's like, challenge accepted. I can't believe that he can do the zipper, but he has figured it out. So mm-hmm. now you had to buy these little things to clip the zipper together so that he can't get it apart because it's not safe for him to be in his bed, not zippered in because mm-hmm. he would get up in the middle of the night. In fact, one night this past week, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard stuff happening in the bathroom and I like freaked out because I thought David got out of his bed and he is in the bathroom. Who knows what he is doing in there in the middle of the night? And then I figured out it was just you.
Yep.
I don't know what you had gotten up.
I was filling the humidifier.
Yes.
And dropped something. That's why it caused
this. It was loud. It sounded like somebody was in there and like up to no good.
Well, the thing about his bed, there's two sets of zippers and the one is higher that he can't get to. So that's not clipped. So we can easily get to them, but he can't open that mm-hmm. one. But there's one that's near the floor that he can work on. And he is very determined. He's so determined.
He's so determined. And I think that that's the gift for us in having this opportunity to have three little kids again is appreciating things, appreciating these different things that they're learning and recognizing that so few things are really worth getting worked up over.
Right.
That, you know, you spill your cereal on the floor. Okay. It was an accident. Let's clean it up. You know, so often I find myself saying to the kids, you know, Micah especially, he gets really upset. The other day he dropped something and it broke and it was something that is mine and he felt terrible and he got all upset that he had broken my thing. And I was like, honey, it was an accident. You're fine. Like, don't worry about it. It's totally fine. And just having that perspective of they're not little for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And they make mistakes just like we make mistakes. We do things that, you know, we don't mean to do. I mean, I've talked about on the podcast where I scraped this out of the car in the garage. You know, we all do things.
And think about that with Micah. That was such a very tender moment for him. He's got, and his tender heart just really shined through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had reacted in a way that was cutting him down, what that would have done to his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I've seen several times since then, he's very open to confessing something that he's done and taking ownership of a mistake that he made.
Just the next day, he said, just out of the blue, I'm so sorry I broke your thing, mommy. I buy you a new one. It was so sweet. And I think to just recognize, you know, like I was talking about with habits of the household, that these are opportunities for mm-hmm. us to come alongside our kids and disciple them and love them and point them to Jesus. And I don't do it perfectly. And there are sometimes that my selfishness rears its ugly head and I get frustrated because there's so many people that need me. But so often I just think of like, this is a gift, like this life is a gift. And so I feel like that's one of the things that if I could go back and tell my, you know, 25-year-old self, I would say, like, look for the gifts. Like, this is a gift. This life is a gift. So many people would love to be living your life. Don't miss it. Because it's easy for us to just think, well, when the kids are potty trained, when they're whatever. And I think that that's a thing that David has taught me is that he might not ever be potty trained. He might not ever, you know, there might not ever be a time when the kids are independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to enjoy today and celebrate today instead of just living with longing for a possible future. I wrote a post for our anniversary And I wanted to share some from it because I feel like that, you know, you can read a lot of anniversary posts or people talking about, you know, who've been married for a long time and, you know, they'll give their advice and there's nothing wrong with that. But the week that I wrote this post, the week of our anniversary, was the week that Catherine was in the hospital and we were both not feeling well and we were exhausted and we were two ships passing in the night and we had five other kids who were needing us and it was a lot. And I felt like I was just doing poorly in every single area of my life. And then because you're the person that I love the most, you were the one that was getting the brunt of my frustration and my overwhelm. And so then it's our anniversary and you're supposed to write these like sweet. And I was just like, I don't have any sage advice to give, but I think the thing that I know is we keep choosing to show up. And I think that that's the most important thing in the hard times and in the good times, choosing to keep showing up, to keep working at it, to know that marriage takes effort, relationship takes sacrifice, but it's worth it. And so to keep looking for ways to make the other person laugh, that's something that we try to do all the time, is like sharing funny memes or videos or telling a story from the kids just to make each other laugh. To work on learning to communicate better. That's something we're constantly working on. And oftentimes I'll say, let me try again. Or how could I have said that in a way that would have come across better? Because here's my heart and what I'm trying to communicate. And I failed miserably in doing that.
Many times.
How could I do it better? And that to me has been such a helpful question because it will help me to understand, oh, in the future, when I'm trying to communicate this, let me approach it in this way versus what I just did because that didn't work. Go ahead.
The other thing is learning to say, I'm sorry. I mean, that's a lesson I'm still learning and leading with humility and being able to say, I'm sorry I was wrong or I'm sorry I hurt you. That's hard for men to do, especially.
I think it's hard for anyone to do, to just take complete ownership and not to say I'm sorry because you want the other person to say I'm sorry as well.
Right. Or not to say I'm sorry for whatever the consequences was.
Or I'm sorry that you were offended.
Right.
You know, but really taking ownership of, and I'm not saying, I mean, I was just thinking sometimes online people are unnecessarily offended. And I have said before, I'm sorry that my post offended you. I don't need to take personal responsibility that was their own thing. I mean, I was just thinking of something this past week where someone read a whole bunch into something. But in our marriage, in a face-to-face relationship, to say, you know, to take ownership. And I mean, online too, if there's something that I've had to go and say, I'm sorry because I didn't respond well to someone. But in our marriage, to really own what you need to own and not be expecting the other person to take ownership if you're not willing to take ownership as well. Mm-hmm. And to be students of one another, I think like always learning and growing and trying to understand better how to communicate, understand better how you think, understand better what motivates you, and also to keep short accounts. Like that is one thing that we really try to do. You know, if there's something between us, to not just let it fester.
Right.
To be like, something's going on. I know that you're feeling, or for me, oftentimes I'll say, the way that you responded to me just then, it felt like this. And to just address it head on versus just be like, oh, he's mad at me, so I'm going to be mad at him back and I'm not going to talk. Don't do the silent treatment.
Wait. I don't know if I've ever had the silent treatment.
Maybe the silent.
That sounds
maybe
you wonderful. Oh my
goodness. You might actually miss me talking after a while. But I was just going to say, don't do the silent treatment because that's really, it's responding in a really dysfunctional way. Now, there is time sometimes when you need to say, I need some space to process this, but to just kind of punish the other person by not talking, that is not addressing the issue. And I think just to recognize that it is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process of working to prioritize our marriage, to appreciate our differences, to look for little ways to keep the sparks flying. And some weeks we do better than others. And, you know, to not beat ourselves up when we fail, to ask forgiveness, to own what we need to own, and then to work on improving and keep trying, keep learning, keep growing. And so I just share this, whether you've been married for 2 months or 2 years or, you know, I was going to say 72 years and I was like, I mean, I guess technically you could be married for 72 years, but I just want to encourage you that it's not easy, but it's worth it. And the work and the effort is something that you won't regret, I don't feel like. And so I'm just really grateful for you, Jesse. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be married for 22 years and that you've stuck with me through thick and thin. And I'm just so thankful to have you for my best friend. And I can't imagine anyone else that I'd rather be on this wild adventure of ER visits and urgent care visits and concussions and stitches and flooding than you.
Well, thank you. I love you too.
Oh, I love you. I didn't say that part, but yes, I love you. And I'm excited about the next
month.
42 years, also February. We're just going to try to make it through February, but you know, also the next 42 years as well. I hope that we make it that far. And what adventures, hey, baby, you're following people on Instagram. I just looked down. I have no idea what adventures are in store, but I'm excited to be on them with you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.